Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, if you recall, boy, I forgot what the sermon was about all last week. Don't worry, I've got a little map to show you all about it. This is how we end the message last week, the five principles of a spiritual walk for an individual and for a person. Last week we talked about Christ, just as that song talked about. Christ is the center of our love. We just sang that. Christ is also the core. But also our spiritual walk is about community, character, calling, and our skills, our competencies. So today I'm going to talk about community. How is that important? Well, dear friends, there was a man named Christopher Knight who just a couple weeks after graduating from high school walked off into the woods of Maine, never to live the same again. See, Christopher Knight lived in the woods for 27 years off in the woods in Maine. True story. Now, it's not to say that he didn't do anything out in the woods all by himself. For 27 years, he played Nintendo, watched television, read books, wrote in his journal, and drank a lot of alcohol. During his 27 years, he also did a lot of break-ins to survive his 27 years. Stole things like sleeping bags, Nintendo Game Boys, televisions, books, and of course, alcohol. This is the way that he lived, and he would have lived even longer, except for the fact that when he was going to one of his break-ins, he tripped the detector, and the police came out and arrested him. This was in 2011. And when they arrested him, Christopher Knight admitted to the police that the only thing that he owned at that time, 2011, that he had back in 1984 when he first disappeared were his glasses. Everything else he stole from everyone else, all that he had. And he said this to the police: the only person that he spoke with for 27 years was a passerby hiker who said hello to him. 27 years. The analysis that was done on Christopher Knight was that social isolation had done severe damage to him. Social isolation hurts us as human beings. It actually goes against the very definition of what it means to be a human being and in connection with others. You see, the Bible, my friends, is about God's effort to bring us into community with others from the very beginning of the first pages of the Bible to the very end. God looks in Genesis chapter 2 down upon earth. I think it's around 18 or 19, verse 18 or 19 in Genesis chapter 2. And he sees Adam, and Adam is all alone, and God says verbally with his mouth, "It is not good for Adam to be alone." And so the very next thing that God did is create a community for Adam. He gave him Eve. You know how the story was? As soon as Eve is created, everything's perfect, and it just goes awesome. Well, it goes off a little bit. But you see how God wanted community to be in place. And then here in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus teaches what it means to be a part of a community, to be in connection with others. You must practice the tool of forgiveness to be connected with others. A king is owed a large sum of money. I think it's said in the text 10,000 talents. That's equivalent to billions of dollars, big debt. And he forgives the servant who owes him this money right on the spot. But that servant has another servant below him who owes him what would be equivalent in today's dollars to about $1,000, 1,000 denarii. And this servant doesn't forgive him. And friends, from what the text says, that caused damage to the servant's relationships. He lost a connection with his friends, lost a connection with the king. This man probably had a little taste of what it was like to be Christopher Knight. Social isolation hurts us. Why don't we practice? Now, we all have different answers for this, but I have a couple of them here this morning. Joyce, if you can go ahead and flip the PowerPoint here. What are the reasons for why we don't practice the tool of forgiveness? I've written down a few here. I could rattle off seven, but I don't want to take a 50-minute sermon here. and preach for a long time. But here are a couple reasons. One reason we don't forgive is because we sometimes think it's optional. In other words, I don't have to forgive that person that's wronged me. Have you ever been deeply hurt by someone and then thought, I'm not going to forgive them quite yet. I'm going to hold on until they prove themselves to me and that they've changed their ways. Then I will forgive them. You know how that works. That person hurts your reputation or does something that hurts you and harms you. It's hard to forgive because they hurt you and you want to hold out until you know that they say 10 things that are really nice about you. Then you can forgive them. That happens. Friends, Jesus says, forgiveness is not optional. Not an option. Not an option at all. And here's the text that can show it. We actually pray it every time here at Peace. We say this prayer, Lord, forgive me my trespasses. But we don't stop there. We say this, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. NIV translation, I love that. We forgive everyone. That's almost like a vow or a statement when we say that prayer. Forgiveness is not an option. The second thing that forgiveness is it's not impossible. And once again, when we're hurt by someone, it can seem as if it's impossible to forgive that person. I remember growing up in the South Hill of Spokane at Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church. It's recorded. Someone at Beautiful Savior is going to hear this, I'll bet. And the pastor of that church did a boo-boo in the prayers of the church. In the prayers of the church, he was announcing the health of one of my family members, and he went into great detail about their health situation and some gory details about their health situation. That family member, and I can speak on their behalf, never forgave and held a grudge still to this day. When you're hurt, that's what happens. Nasty divorce, theft, murder, whatever it is, forgiveness is just not possible. Friends, Jesus says forgiveness is always possible. Always. Here, Peter confronts Jesus and says, if someone forgives, and here's the proof of that, Matthew 18, verse 22, Peter says, if someone continuously sins against me, how often should I forgive that person? Peter gives an answer. He always does. He blurts things out. Do you ever know someone that just blurts things out before they think through them? That's Peter. Peter says seven times, and Peter thinks he's going to get a pat on the back by Jesus. Oh, you're so kind, Peter, to forgive someone seven times. No, Jesus says, always forgive. Infinity. Seven times 70, Jesus is basically saying infinity. Always forgive. The movie The Shack came out last year. We talked about it in Bible study this morning. And the story is about a horrific accident that happens to a family. A family of five loses the youngest daughter in the family from an abduction, and she is ultimately murdered. But the story, The Shack, in the book, is also about the role that forgiveness plays in our relationships. The father in that movie, who's lost his daughter, enters a deep depression because of how he was treated by his father in his young age. That father, he drank a lot. He had a temper and did not treat his son very well. And Mac, the father who was in the deep depression, he thought he thought that forgiveness was optional, and he thought that it was absolutely impossible. So here's the cue. This is from The Shack. I want you to check this out. Go ahead, and if we can show that right now. Mac and his father getting forgiveness. Yep, and then go play. Yep, there we go.
What you call personality and emotion, we see as color and light.
What's happening with that one? Why is he focused on us?
He's focused on you.
Someone gonna tell me where we're going?
Look around. Focused on you.
Thank you, Oscar and Joyce. I think you get the gist there. Friends, a group of people at Peace went and saw that movie, and there was not a dry tear in that moment of the movie. A dry eye, I should say. A lot of wet tears. And the thing that happened in that moment was Mac realized, he changed forever, that forgiveness was not conditional or optional or impossible, but it was possible. And that he should practice it always. You know, watching that movie, it gave the impression that wouldn't it be great if you and I had that experience of touching someone, of offering that forgiveness and getting that healing and warmth. Dear friends, Jesus has done that for you. You have it. See, just as bad as the servant who had lost so much money to the king and could never work it off, so also that's the way it is with Jesus. He died on the cross, and the payment for his death was our sins, your sin. And if we were to write up a way to earn it back to Jesus, we never could. The only way it could work is if blood was shed. And if Jesus said himself to each one of us, you are forgiven, and Jesus did just that. Forgiveness is the heart and core of our gatherings here at Peace Lutheran Church. I'm so thankful for that. At the beginning of the service, your sins are forgiven. When we say the creed, we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. And today, when you receive the body and blood of Jesus, these words will be said to you, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. You're awesome. I'm not worried about any of you here because you come and you hear the forgiveness that Jesus offers you. But here's the thing. Out there and in the community and perhaps out in the woods, there's someone like Christopher Knight. And there's someone like Mac, socially isolated, away from others because of not the ability to reach out and receive forgiveness. Jesus has hugged you and given you his forgiveness. Who is that person you can go out and extend that forgiveness to and bring them back into community, whether that be in the neighborhood or whether it be in our church or whether it be in school or a small group ministry here at Peace? We can do it because we've been freely forgiven by Jesus. Amen. We now continue in our worship service with the